will give you glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. Glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. Glory.
I think I am more proud than ever to be a part of the Church of the Living God. I'm thankful for God-fearing parents who struggled to swim upstream in society. But today I'm a benefactor. Today I know where I belong. I know where my help comes from. I know where my strength comes from. I know how I'll be able to make it. I know how my family will be able to make it in a society that is going so far down. I'm thankful to be a part of the Church of the Living God. Ever there was a life raft on this sea of life, it is the Church of the Living God. It is a place where you can stay, a place that will give you comfort and help. I'm thankful to be a part of the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. I want to remind you, a week from today is a special day, time we look for. It's our annual church picnic, but not only is it our annual church picnic, it's a time when we have usually many visitors and others that had one time been a part of this church that will come and be a part of our services. And so we're looking forward to having a full house next week. We're looking forward to having a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord in our Sunday morning service. I would say this, I don't know if you had a chance to view it on the newsletter, but next Sunday morning we will have a special guest speaker, Reverend Andrew Lucas, who is the nephew of Brother and Sister Day. He's a youth pastor of Dallas First Church out in Dallas, Texas, under the direction of Brother Tom Foster. And he is going to be in service with us this next Sunday. I asked him if he would preach for us, and he graciously accepted. And so we're looking forward to that, looking forward to having a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord next Sunday morning. And then at 5 p.m., we will gather together around our place. And if you do not know where we live, the address is 803 Castle Street. Basically, if you go out here and you make a left on, what's that, second? Right? That's second or third? Second. Third. I always get second and third mixed up. That's third. Second's that way. That's third. and make a left on 3rd, go all the way down to Castle, make a right on Castle, go all the way down. You'll see the house there. It's right before a wooded lot, and we are just looking forward to having you there. Feel free to park on the lawn when you come. We'll have things cordoned off and a tent set up and volleyball and bags and bounce house for the kids, zip line, just a lot of different stuff that we'll have available, and we look forward to this all year. And then if you would like to stay, I would say this as a precautionary thing. I would tell you, you're going to need mosquito spray. With all the water that has been, we've been receiving in the way of rain, the mosquitoes are bad even during the day, so they're only going to get worse at night. And so I encourage you to bring, we'll have some citronella candles and some things to try to help, but you'll want to bring some bug spray. You also want to probably bring a lawn chair. We'll have metal chairs there seated around the table. If you want to use those, you can use those. But a lot of times when it gets dark, we'll go out to the berm on the backside of the property, and we'll watch the City of Sandwich fireworks display. So just looking forward to having a great time and fellowship and fun. I would say this, please remember we're asking each family to bring either a side dish or a dessert and a drink, and that way we'll have enough food for all. The church will provide the meat, the hamburgers, the hot dogs, but we're looking forward to having a great time together this coming Sunday. I do want to say thank you to all those who were able to be a part of the half a century celebration for Sister Darlene Grimm. Last night we had a 50-style birthday party, had a wonderful time, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come and be a part of that together with us. Also, camp meeting is taking place. Those dates are on the newsletter, I believe, July 15th through the 17th, so that is quickly approaching. One more thing before we get into the Word of the Lord. Brother and Sister Duell have connected to a wholesaler of linens, and we are going to do a fundraiser here through the church. If you or someone you know is in need of linens, by linens I mean flat sheets, fitted sheets, hand towels, bath towels, washcloths, we are able to get these hotel quality linens at a discounted price, and that way we can sell them and make a little money for the church. It is strictly a fundraiser for the church. All the profits and proceeds will go back here into the church. So if you're looking to purchase some linens, or you know somebody who is, please do so through this fundraiser. They are white in color. But if those of you that do laundry know, white's great because you can always bleach them. And so we're going to have those. We're also looking to set up a booth on the 4th during the parade to sell them here at the church, probably out on the lawn. So if you would be willing to see, Brother Mike's had something to say. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. So if you heard that, basically what we'll do is we'll have it open an hour before and about a half hour after. That way you don't have to miss the parade. But if you would be willing to help us in that, please see Brother Mike Duell. We're thankful that they've taken the time out, and they're kind of spearheading this. And so we thank you for that. And just another way to help us raise funds. I would say this. I won't mention them by name, but a family has been so generous and gracious to help us. They have completely purchased a brand new keyboard for the church, which is being shipped, and so we are hopefully this week going to have a new keyboard for Sister Wells to play. I am thankful for the generosity of God's people, and you will never go wrong, and you will never be able to outgive God, ever, ever. Why don't you stand to your feet? I know it was mentioned earlier at the opening of service, but I do want to take time here to take a special need before the Lord in prayer. Received a call last evening from Brother Tom in relation to his father. Very serious motorcycle accident. At first they thought maybe it was just a collapsed lung, but now they've realized that he's broken a vertebrae in the neck. Ron's not a man that's in great health to begin with. And anytime you have something of that nature, it's even worse. And so I want us to bind together here in a few moments and pray for Ron Kreger, the God who intervened situation. He'll help. Also, I ask you to remember Brother and Sister Salters and the new baby, little Joseph, and also Brother and Sister Casputis, little baby Levi. Ladies are recovering from childbirth, and so we look forward to having an opportunity to have the little guys here in service and be a part of the family here. And I know they covet your prayers. Can we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you in our time of need. How wonderful you are. How mighty you are, Jesus. We can beseech your throne of grace, God. We're asking you to work, to intervene, to move on behalf of Ron Kreger, God. You are a healer of the body, God. You use situation, circumstance, God, to awaken, God, an individual reality of eternity, Lord. And I pray, God, you would talk to his heart, his mind, Lord, that you would be a witness therein, God. Lord, give the doctors and those attending them wisdom dealing with the situation, God, to heal, to raise up, to restore, God. The Kreger family, we lift them up before you right now, God, to be a help and a strength in making decisions, God. Strengthen them, God. In your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Lord, for the Salters family, Casputis family, God, we pray, God, that you would be a help and a strength, God, to encourage and lift up, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord? He's worthy of praise. We applaud you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach upon it, but I will make one comment in relation to the decision that was handed down by Supreme Court earlier this week. As many Bible-believing Christians were, I was saddened at the news. The highest court in the land made a ruling not in favor even of the general population. I don't know if you know this, but 39 out of the 50 states voted against same-sex union. There's only 11 states that were for it. And our Supreme Court decided that they are more wise than God. My wife and I were talking about it, and I said, you know, it really shouldn't surprise us. In the 70s, they approved the killing of unborn children. Made it legal. I'm kind of surprised it took them this long. But when all these signs begin to happen, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. One of the saddest things that has happened as a result of this is individuals that I have been astounded that have come out in support of. As I mentioned last Sunday in my sermon, the greatest travesties of all in this decision is that it has taken what God has instituted in His Word as not, catch this, not just being the definition of marriage, but the definition of His love for the church. For men ought to love their husbands, ought to love their wives, as Christ hath loved the church and gave Himself for it. The reality is, God has not lessened, God has not stopped, God has not in any way, shape, or form turned His love toward us. Catch this. It's the same. His love is unconditional. He still loves us. He still cares for us. But here's the reality of what has happened. We are not reciprocating that love unto God. The Bible has some very strong words about what happens. Very strong words about what happens to mankind, what happens to society as a whole when we do not retain God in our knowledge, when we serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And when we take those relationships and those roles that God has used to reveal His love towards us and the church, and we pervert them, He must be a long-suffering God. But I don't know how long. I don't know how long He'll suffer. I don't know how long before He decides, okay, I've had enough. He splits the eastern sky and He comes, and but guess what? I'm looking forward to it. Now more than ever, as the days progress, I'm looking forward to the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm ready to get out of this whole world and what it has. Thank You, Jesus. One more time, can you applaud the Lord for His goodness, for His grace, for His mercy? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. If you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind to turn Matthew chapter number 15. And reading in verse number 21. I will hasten on. I know time is progressing. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word, and His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it is not meet, it's not proper, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want to draw your attention to the response of the lady. Verse number 27. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I want to preach to you upon this subject. Oh, what crumbs can do. Oh, what crumbs can do. Can we pray, dear Jesus? We love You. God, I'm thankful for Your word. God, I'm more thankful today than ever, God, that I know You and the power of Your might, God, that I'm a part of the church. God, I thank You for this awesome opportunity to stand in front of these precious people and preach Your word, God, to reveal the wonderful truths and things contained therein. God, I pray You would open our heart and our minds to receive Your word this morning, that we would leave here encouraged, uplifted, strengthened, God, by the words that come forth, not because they come from me, Lord, but because they are inspired by You. God, I love You. I praise You. I thank You. I give You glory and honor for who You are and what You do. In Your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We find this miracle recorded here in Matthew chapter 15, and again we find it recorded in Mark chapter 7. Mark tells us that Jesus had come to this place seeking respite. In other words, Jesus had entered into this house, and the Bible says that He desired that no one know where He was. Jesus, and as you read the scriptures and you understand that while He was fully God, He was also fully man. And as a man, He got tired, and as a man, He got weary, and as a man, He needed time alone and time away. As a man, he was in some sense, he was ready to be done for a while with fulfilling all the requests and all those that came to Him for healing. And though as God, he had the power and availability, and the Bible says when they brought He would heal them all. But Jesus, as a man, decided that He needed some rest. And So he went to a place that was outside of the Jewish area. He went to a place that was a place of Gentiles. He went into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And the Bible tells us through Mark that it was a Syrophoenician woman. In other words, she was from Phoenicia that was in Syria, and she was a Canaanite woman. But Jesus, the Bible says that he wanted some time away, and so he went to this place, and he didn't want anybody to know where he was. I would say this, what a stark contrast to the desire of many who seek fame and spotlight in this life. What a stark contrast to many who as their fame becomes more, they seek more spotlight, and they seek more time in front of the cameras. And Jesus was such a humble individual that he took the time to separate himself. Even the times when they thought to make him king, he would separate and depart from their midst. Jesus went to this place, and the Bible says in Mark 7:24, but his fame was so much that he could not be hid. The fame of Jesus was such that even in an area outside of the Jews, it was found that Jesus was there. This woman, this Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite, she somehow found out that Jesus had come to her area. We don't know what she did. We don't know how she heard. We don't know how the news got to her. But this woman heard that Jesus, the healer, the miracle man from Galilee, that Jesus was somewhere in her midst and in her area. And it is doubtful that she ever witnessed any one of his own miracles. She believed what she had heard. Bible says she came and she found out where he was. We don't know how she found out his exact location. We don't know all the trouble she may have gone through to know and narrow down exactly where he was and pinpoint the house. We don't know if she waited for him to come outside and appear out of the house or whether she went and barged right into where he was. We only know that she got to where he was. Made her way to where Jesus was, and her opening salutation speaks volumes, for she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord," or "Master, have mercy upon me, Master." But then she makes this statement, "Thou son of David." She, a Canaanite woman, she acknowledges his kingship and his authority. She did not call him "thou son of Joseph." She called him "thou son of David." We don't know if she understood all of the implications of her acknowledgement, but she did not hesitate to address Jesus in such a manner. See, these words in the mouth of a Gentile woman on Gentile soil are remarkable. They show that she was acquainted with the Jewish idea of the Messiah, and they indicate the spread of Jewish ideas and hopes among the surrounding nations. Jesus had probably never been there before, nor had this woman been where he was. But in all probability, it was found that his fame had spread throughout Syria. You find that in Matthew 4:24, of which this Syrophoenician woman was, and she doubtless longed for an opportunity to bring his healing power to bear on her child. She had a daughter who was grievously vexed of the devil, and she wanted healing for her daughter. And though the Bible says Jesus would have no one know where he was, she found out where he was. And she, this Canaanite woman, she comes to him and she goes to the trouble of finding where she is. And what joy must have flooded her heart when she found out that this was the man, this was the miracle man from Galilee. This is the one who had cast out devils. This is the one who had opened blinded eyes and unlocked deaf ears. This is the one who had raised the dead. This is the one that his fame had spread out even in her area. Even though he was a Jew and a healer of the Jews, she came to him and said, "Thou son of David. Help me, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She presents her need to him and appeals to the one she believes can meet the need. The Bible says that Jesus does something somewhat peculiar. The Bible says he answered her not a word, just as if he ignored her request, as if she wasn't there. The Bible says he answered her not a word. She came, she found him, she went through the trouble. She in her salutation, acknowledged who he was, and she told him her need. He doesn't say a thing. Doesn't respond to her request at all. He just stands there. The disciples come to him and they besought him, saying, the Bible says, verse 23, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's bothering us, Jesus. We came here to have some rest. We came here to get away from all of these requests and all the people beseeching you, trying to get you to heal and help their situation. Send her away, Jesus. Send her away. She crieth after us. She's posing upon us, Jesus. Send her away. Jesus answered and said in verse number 24, he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, you're not a Jew, lady. You're not one of us. You're not one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not really sent to you. Your time will come, but I'm not really here for the purpose of healing and helping those that are not of God's chosen. I'm here for the Jews. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not here for you. But then she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Come on, Jesus. You can do it. I know you can do it. I know you can help me. I know you're the hope that I have for my daughter. Help me, Jesus. And then, as if to add insult to injury, he makes this statement. He looks at her and said, it's not meet. It's not proper. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Our mind, and we look at scriptures, I don't know about you, but I've looked at that and thought to myself, wow, Jesus, that's pretty insensitive. Comes to you, she finds where you are, and she pleads. The Bible says she worships you. She acknowledges who you are. She, as a Canaanite woman, even use a Jewish phrase, and thou son of David, and she wants help and she needs help. Then you tell her it's not meat, it's not proper to give the children's bread and cast it into the dogs. But then I begin to read into a little bit further, and I begin to research some of the wording and what Jesus actually said. Something in his words, we find out by her reply, give her hope. Myself, how is she so optimistic about her opportunity still? How does she look at him and say, truth, Lord? Truth, Master. What was it that Jesus said that gave her some sense of hope? And as I begin to review and begin to read, I looked at the word dogs. And if you do a word study, you will find it's not talking about an adult dog. It's not talking about a full-grown dog. In fact, if you do the research, you will find that word in the Greek literally means puppy. Catch this. He says, and if we were to say it in our language and translation, we would say it's not right to give the children's bread and give it to the puppies. Well, what's the difference? Why does that matter? How could she find hope in that? You see, in the East, full-grown dogs were not kept in the house. They were let outside to fend for themselves. But puppies were allowed in the house. She finds a little nugget of truth in his statement, and she takes what he says and it gives her some hope, and she looks at him and says, truth, Lord. In other words, I recognize that I'm not a child. I recognize that I'm not one of the chosen. I recognize that I'm a Canaanite. I recognize that I'm not a Jew and you were sent to the Jews. I recognize that in your definition of a child, I am not a child, but you have called me a puppy. You've given me some ownership, because she goes on to say this, but even the puppies get the crumbs that fall, catch this, from their master's table. I may not be a child in the sense of a spiritual Jew. I may not be someone who has right to the bread that you're offering. But this I do know. You've identified me as something that's in the house. You've identified me as something that still has a master. And even the puppies get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. couple observations that she must have made in this scenario is, first of all, he's not completely casting me out. He's not completely saying I can't be here and I can't be in his presence. He's not identifying me as an old dog that's left to fend for themselves. He's identifying me as a puppy. He's given me some attachment to him, and I'm going to take that and I'm going to use it to my advantage. Truth, Lord! Thank you for identifying me. I know you don't see me as a child. I know I'm just a Canaanite. I know I'm not a Jew, and you were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you've given me some ownership. You've placed me in a position to receive some crumbs. Truth, Lord. But even the puppies get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She made this other observation. Said, it's not meat to give the children's bread and cast it under the dogs. As I know about children, they're careless with crumbs. I know this for sure. We had a meal the other day at my house, and I gave Landon a piece of cornbread. A few minutes later, I came around on the other side and looked, and somehow it looked as though there was more cornbread scattered about on the floor than what had initially been in the cornbread. Those of you that raise small children, you know, children are careless with food. Sometimes we say, my mom used to say, son, you got more on you than you got in your mouth. Anyway. Three kids eating at the kitchen. Sometimes it looks like Betty Crocker had a schizophrenic fit there in the kitchen, man. It's like crumbs everywhere. You got to pull out the vacuum cleaner. You can't just get down and collect it by hand. You got to pull out the dustbuster, the vacuum cleaner. You got to wipe up all the crumbs. See, this woman found some hope because you're identifying that you're giving bread to the children. And this I know, children are careless with the crumbs. And the crumbs fall from the master's table. This, though I'm not a child, this I know, if you'll just allow me the crumbs. Truth, Lord, but even the puppies get crumbs that fall from the master's table. This is what I believe. I don't have to have the whole bread. You don't have to cut me off a slice of your power. You just have to let me have a little crumb. You just have to, oh, what a little crumb can do. If you just allow a little crumb to fall my way, master, guess what? I know my daughter will be healed. And Jesus looks at her and said, oh, woman, you are a woman of great faith. There is only two times recorded in Scripture when Jesus looks at someone and says, you were of great faith. And the reality is that neither one of them were Jews. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. He wanted to help the children. He wanted to serve the children, but the children were careless with the bread, and they let crumbs fall all over the place. And the only two times recorded in Scripture that Jesus looked at an individual and said, great faith was this woman and the centurion, and neither one of them were Jews. Now it's about to get real. Now we're about to see the parallel. Jesus looks at her and says, "O woman of great faith, be it unto you according to thy will." Your faith is so much that you understand what the children can't believe with a whole loaf of bread, you can believe with just a crumb. What the children can't believe when they sit up at the table, I can provide for them. What the children can't grasp in their understanding when I'm standing there as their father serving them. What the children can't get, you little puppy have come to understand. Oh, ye of great faith. Here it is. Here's where we come into the picture, because if you want to do a spiritual parallel, if you want to talk about those that are children, I know in a very general sense, we are all children of God. I get that. There are a lot of people who would maybe identify themselves as children of God in a natural sense, who are not children of God in a spiritual sense. And we who have received the power of the Holy Ghost in our life, we that have been born again, we that have the Spirit of Christ in us, we are spiritual offspring. Spirit of Christ is in us by which we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, we are spiritual children. But catch this. We get served bread all the time. We get served bread all the time. There are those who are not spiritual children of God who have faith for a crumb. Catch this. They have faith just for a crumb, and oh, what a crumb can do. But here's where it struck me. Here's where it really spoke to me as I began to look at the scripture, and I looked at a story, and it's found in Luke chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And then here it is. Never saw it like this before. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. See, here's where it hit me. I never before paralleled myself with the rich man. But in a spiritual sense, I'm clothed with fine linen. No, it's going to get quiet. It's going to get tight. In a spiritual sense, I fare sumptuously every day. How many Lazaruses do I pass? The Bible says, this is all he wanted. This is all he desired. He just wanted the crumbs from the rich man's table. He wasn't asking for a whole loaf. He wasn't even asking for a slice. He just wanted the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But then it further hit me when the Bible said, but the dogs would come and lick his sores. The rich man who fared sumptuously, the rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, the rich man who was, by spiritual application, rich, walked past someone who only wanted crumbs. The rich man couldn't find it in his heart to give crumbs. But the dogs would give the man comfort. How many Lazarus are laying outside the walls of this church? How many Lazarus are laying all over this community? They're sick. They're full of sin-sick sores in their life. Oh, what a crumb can do. Oh, what a crumb can do. That we as children of God, we as spiritual offspring, we who fare sumptuously every day, we who come in and eat at the Master's table on a consistent basis, we easily walk past and will not offer them a crumb.
yet the dogs will give them comfort. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Woman of great faith, be it unto you according, even as thou wilt. The Bible says, her daughter was healed that very hour, very moment. Both times when Jesus talked about the great faith of the individual, in the case of this woman and in the case of the centurion, we don't find that Jesus ever made an appearance himself to the place. He merely said the word. He merely spoke it, and it took place. Oh, what a crumb can do. Oh, what a crumb can do. Just the faith to believe in you and I, we have opportunity. We have opportunity. Oh, that we would understand that the crumbs that we have that fall from the table, oh, the stuff that we don't partake of, the stuff that is available unto us but falls by the wayside, if we could ever understand, oh, what a little crumb can do, and we could ever look the picture of the rich man and Lazarus and say, I don't want to neglect someone who's looking for a crumb. Oh, what a crumb can do. The reality is it could have been the crumbs that could have saved Lazarus' life, but the rich man was too preoccupied with whatever he was doing to give the crumbs. Oh, what a crumb can do. What are you saying, Pastor? The power that we partake of on a weekly basis. Catch this. The power that we partake of on a weekly basis is enough to deliver that addict who's been strung out for years. The power that we partake of on a frequent basis is enough to repair and reconcile that broken relationship. The power that we partake of, just a little crumb is enough. Jesus just spoke the word. He wasn't even in the area. He just spoke the word, if you will, and it was done. What are you trying to say? Do we realize what we have? Do we realize that what we partake of so frequently and sometimes so frivolously? Do we understand that, oh, what a little crumb can do? And if we could have the faith to believe that God can use us as children to serve even little crumbs to those who sit by the wayside, oh, what a little crumb can do. What you and I have opportunity to be a part of and have in our lives, what you and I, it's going to be real, so often take for granted because we're the children. It's exactly what someone needs to save their life, to save their situation, to save their relationship. Oh, what a crumb can do. Here's my prayer. Here's the reason why I would say this. Here's the reason why I would preach along these lines. We live in a world that's falling faster and faster away from God. They're becoming so sick with sin. But oh, what a little crumb can do. Oh, if we have but the understanding that what we partake of, what we have access to, what we often take for granted because we're the children, is the very thing that can help, that can heal, that can deliver, that can save. Oh, what a crumb can do. I'm not all that good at serving. I'm getting nervous and shaky when I talk to a stranger. I'm not all that good at serving. And I'm careless sometimes, and I feel like I spill, and it doesn't come out right, and I feel like my words run together, and I stutter, and I try to talk to people, and I try to, but I feel I'm clumsy at best, and might even be considered careless. Focus on your faults. Don't focus on your inabilities. Focus on what a little crumb can do. Focus on the reality of a God who has all power in heaven and earth. And if you and I are just willing to put it out there, you and I are just willing. May not do it right. I may not say it right. I may not quote the scripture right that I'm trying to relay into the individual. I may stumble over my words. I may spill. I may drop. I may fall. And understand there's someone waiting on the crumbs. There's someone who can be healed. There's someone who can be helped. There's someone. Know what a crumb can do. God, help me. Help me to see the picture. Help me to understand that I, like the rich man in the story, I'm clothed with fine linen in the spiritual sense. I fare sumptuously every day in a spiritual sense. I read the word, I pray. I eat at the table. I'm honored to be your child. But Lord, let me not neglect to see Lazarus. Let me not neglect to see the one. Lord, don't let the dogs be willing to offer comfort in me, not even be willing to offer a crumb. Serve it just right.
Lord, I give myself to you.
I remember when we had little Bentley, I remember catching my kids more than once. Little Bentley knew where to hang out when the food was served.
Lord, I know there's so much more.
I remember on more than one occasion, one of my kids reaching down and giving Bentley a little something. Child of God. They might not be a child yet. They may not understand what you understand. But oh, what a crumb can do. Have compassion. Who is it that you've been bypassing? Who is it that I've walked by? The dogs are willing to give comfort, but I'm not even willing to give a crumb.
For all the times you've been so true. Lord, I know
what a crumb can do.
There's so much more I can do. I give myself.
Hallelujah. I might spill, I might make a mess.
Lord, I give myself.
May not serve it right, I may not give it the way you intended.
All the times You've been
That's all right.
so true.
Oh, what a crumb can do.
Lord, I know there's so much more I can do. I give myself to you. Lord, I give myself to you. For all the times you've been
is just a crumb.
Lord, I know there's so much more I can do. I give myself to you. Lord, I give myself to you. For all the times you've been so true. Lord, I know there's so much more I can do. I give myself to you. Lord, I give myself to you. For all the times you've been
to be your children. I thank you. The provision God, we have at your hand. Thank you. Lord, let me believe, let me trust in what a crumb can do. Don't let me let Lazarus lie in a sickly state without offering crumbs from the table. Oh, what a crumb can do. One more time, can you lift your voice, lift your hands? Thank you for speaking through your word. Heart. Thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity, God, to sit at your feet and to learn of you. Help me realize, oh, what a crumb can do. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go. In Jesus' name.